Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me back by popular demand
is... thank you. One person standing next to me.
That's right. And it's always good to have you back, Michael.
Thank you, Scott.
It's awesome today because we were going to talk about one topic and then you're going to come in, I was like telling you before, Savine goes, oh, you should talk about this. And you walk in and you're like, hey, we're going to talk about that. I'm like, okay, perfect, because we were just... So what we're going to talk about is... cool new stuff in NewSQL.
Yes.
Right? And then we'll talk about, we'll have you back again to talk about what we were originally going to talk about. But
sure. Yeah. Yep.
So what's new in NewSQL?
Yeah.
And I was watching you put code on it. This is going to be really cool. I'm excited to this. All right. So let's go.
Yeah. Thanks. So what we have is finally we released in March a couple of new capabilities in NewSQL, some of which have been asked on our user feedback page. And also we have basically continued with some of the deprecation of the stuff that we decided to change during our preview. So that it means that soon we will basically be in the state where we want to be.
Yep.
And people that were happy enough to work with us during preview, that will have to potentially do some small changes.
Yep, okay. Cool.
Okay, so let's start maybe with the deprecation.
This is going to be a pretty quick show.
Yes. The first important aspect is that... we kind of unified the credentials and the secrets for doing federated queries and creating external data sources. So that has been in the works for a while. And now we basically have removed the ability to say create or alter credential. And now the credential objects, if you create new ones, have to be created with this PowerShell command that you see here on the screen. New Azure RM Lake, RM Data Lake Analytics Catalog Credential. I hate those long PowerShell names.
Sure.
And then you basically give the ADLA account, the ADLA database where you want to create the credential in. And you give obviously the credential names, and then you have to provide the credential. And in addition, you give the database host and the port of the external database that you want to kind of connect to.
So why did they just... Just for my, why did they, you know, so why do I have to use PowerShell? Why can't I just say create or do
Well, our security review guys basically decided, given that we are saving scripts in the service for a couple of days so that you can go back and look at your scripts, they didn't want to have security credentials be stored that way.
That makes sense.
So you have to basically, you still put it into a PowerShell script nowadays, but you will keep that on your local machine, which apparently is considered more safe. well, security guys. Interestingly enough, I know that similar features, for example, in SQLDW, they actually still put it into DDL. So, and drop credentials, we keep that around. So old credentials that you have created using the old mechanism, they still continue to work. So you don't have to actually go and recreate
drop
them.
And recreate, yep.
If you feel that you have to, the drop credential DLL will be one more release. It will probably be deprecated either in the upcoming or the one after that.
Okay.
Another thing that we removed is we already have done a lot of changes around partition by versus distribution by. And now we are just removing some old syntax. So if you have very old scripts, you might be affected by that. Hopefully not, because you should have switched over a long time ago.
Right, okay.
Now we also did some major performance improvements and some like bug fixes. Like, obviously, I'm not listing all the bug fixes. So there are more. If you go to our blog on our release notes, there's more detail on that.
Yep, and we'll put that blog in the show description so people can go over. Yep.
So some of the important aspects here is that we improved our job performance when you're running close to the ADLS throttling limit. So we are not pulling you back as far as we have done before.
Okay.
Unicode whitespace characters are now recognized as whitespace by the parser. That is especially interesting for people that use like non-US, non-standard editors or so.
Okay, yeah.
Another thing that we've done is a lot of people, when they create a table with hash distributions and don't specify the number of buckets, they always got 25 buckets, which was not the best thing for most cases. And so we basically now have make it a little bit more clever that the number of buckets is determined by the data size of the first insert so that you get about a 2 gigabyte distribution bucket size based on the kind of first insertion. Now, obviously, if you have data skewed, then that might not be quite what you're getting. assuming a uniform distribution should give you that.
Okay.
Then another thing is, some of you might have used checked as an expression in C#, and we constant folded that as an unchecked expression. So that's a bug fix. Now we basically do not constant fold that expression anymore. And there are many more. So now let's go to the interesting part, the new features. We did add the ability to refer to catalog objects such as tables or views or even assemblies in other ADLA accounts back at GA. But at that time, the two ADLA accounts had to share the same ADLS account. And now we basically removed that restriction so you can share between two ADLA accounts regardless of whether they have the same or different ADLS accounts. So that gives you the ability to, for example, have one account where you keep the data being produced and then you basically give people only access to the data to read and give them different ADLA accounts to operate on that so they have to pay for their own processing. It's, for example, one example.
All through the same subscription, though.
They don't have to be in the same subscription. They have to have the same Active Directory tenant.
Okay. Yep.
So that way.
That makes sense. Yep, okay.
Then we added pivot and unpivot. And now let me show you that, how that looks like.
Sweet.
So here I have a data set here that I create with some famous bands and musicians and what they play. Beatles, Rolling Stones, Eagles, Pink Floyd, Creedence Clearwater Revival. So that's like my rock band. And now in the next statement, I basically now pivot this based on the year of birth. So I basically make now the year of birth a column here.
Okay.
And I do a second one where I basically now do a pivot, a double pivot, so to speak, one on the bands and one on the year of births again.
Okay.
And then I just output them to the corresponding table. Okay. So if I submit this, it will see a syntax error here because apparently my local tool hasn't been updated. Oh, interesting. Doesn't allow me to submit it without this. So anyway, sorry for this.
That's right. We're in
old tooling here. So the value, the kind of value out of this is to learn to update your ADL tool if you want to use your features.
Now, is that different? Because you had one that ran successfully.
Yeah, I have some more. I'm not quite sure why it actually prohibits me from submitting here. I think the local compilation here is a little bit harsher than normal.
So this was on purpose because we want you to run this. You want you to run this at home.
Yes.
And see what you get. Right.
So the example is actually on our release note, so you can copy it from there. So let's go and look at another script here, another thing that we added. We did add also many more capabilities to cross-apply.
Okay.
The first one is that you can now use cross-apply with a values expression. Now, the values expression is this thing that allows me to create rows and row sets. So in this case, what I do here is I basically say, let me just add to all these bands here, Beatles, Creedence Clearwater, Eagles, Pink Floyd, etc., just add a value 1. Kind of boring.
Yep.
Then the other thing, though, is this is a little bit more interesting. So what I say here is basically, well, actually add 1 and the name length. Okay. So now I basically go into the row set up here. Let me quickly move over the cursor. So you see here the schema. So the name is basically one of the columns.
Okay.
And what I do here is I basically take the name of the band and take the length and cross-apply it with this. And down here now, so these are 2 rows that I cross-apply with.
Okay.
Down here, I cross-apply with a single row, but the single row contains 3 columns.
Ah, okay.
So I did already run that. So, I can run it again. Now, see, it says syntax errors because it's the old version. I still say, please continue. I was expecting that to happen in the previous script as well. And now it basically runs and generates the code, etc. While this is doing that, let me quickly show you some more things that we can do. So in this case, you might remember that I had explode with cross-apply before, but mm-hmm. it had to be a SQL array or a SQL map data type.
Yep.
Now it can be any enumerable data type. So in this case now, I just say members.split. So in this case, I take my band members list here, which is a string, comma separated.
Yep.
And now I explode this just with members.split. That is a much easier way to do it, so we don't have to marshal it back into a SQL array. It just gives me basically a built-in type that we understand. And then, of course, I can do the same here. In this case, I just use even a link expression here inside my explode, just to show you how fancy you can get in here in the syntax. And then you can submit this and do the cross-apply here as well. So let me maybe submit that too. This one even submits without the complaint. So let's go back here. Now you see the job has finished executing. Let's, for example, take a look at the result that we had on cross-apply value 3. So you see here we have, let me zoom in. You see here the name and the members of the band. Mm-hmm. And then you see the constant 1, the constant 3, and the name length that got added. One row at a time.
So even though the first and the second didn't have that 3, because you're returning it, then it's going to add that 3 to all the results.
Yes, because that's a cross-apply, which basically does that to each of the rows.
Yep.
And so that's one. Maybe let's look at the second one where I had 2 rows. So I would expect each band to be doubled, and that's indeed the case. So now you see here the 1, which was 1 row, and then the name length, which was the other row, and then you get basically 2 rows because of the cross-apply.
Yep.
Same works with outer apply as well. So let's look at the other job that we returned. This one is still kind of running. Let's refresh quickly, see how far we got. Probably want to cut that out.
That's okay.
Now it's done.
Done.
So now let's take a look at this one here. The first one with the where I just did the member split. And here you basically see now now that I have my individual beetle members and my individual eagle members, etc.
Okay.
All showing one per line.
Very cool.
So one last one is we can also just do the same if we have, for example, a tuple here. So in this case, I created an explicit tuple out of the band members here. And I can do the same with cross-apply. So cross-apply, explode has become way more. So we have now cross-apply values and cross-apply explode. And explode is now way more powerful. Doesn't need you to move everything into a map or an array.
Okay.
So let's look at some other things. We did add a much wider range for the values constructor. So now you can have a million constant values partitioned in whatever which way, a million columns if you fit them into 4 megabytes and one row, or maybe 1,000 rows and 1,000 columns in it, or however you want to like slice and dice the million.
Okay.
We already talked about cross-apply. Another thing that we did was if you... No, as you know, the data that you have inside your databases is moved into a catalog folder inside your ADLS account. Mm-hmm. And the ACLing is set so that if you have permissions on the database, you have permissions, similar permissions on the file system level now, which can lead to people potentially removing files or like trying to patch files up, etc.
Yeah.
And that can lead to sometimes weird results. So what we did was we added a modification check to kind of give you a more expressive error message if we detect that a file has been tampered with, basically.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So that just doesn't help you much in the sense of getting back the original file. You would have to file a ticket and we can see if we can recover the file for you, but at least it gives you a better warning.
Okay.
Then last but not least, USQL user-defined types, the ones that you have to put the corresponding markings on, like provide an I formatter for, and now can also be used in USQL variables. So you can say declare at my variable equals, and then you have an expression that gives you, for example, a geospatial data type or something like that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you guys have been busy.
Yeah, and there's way more to come. I hope in about 3-4 weeks from now, I will be here talking about the next batch of new stuff.
Well, so we got you scheduled for the next for quite a few more because we do want to have you back to talk kind of how do we think about best practices, right?
Yeah.
But yes, so we and come back, you know, the new stuff and then and more new stuff and then more new stuff and Michael's going to be a regular on this show. Well, I just have a co-host at that point.
Well, not quite. But
anyway, all right, Michael, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And all right, see you on the data lake.
Yeah, on the data lake. All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time. And cut. All right.